Sunday, P.M., January the 30th, 1977. Observance of the two pictorial ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper.
Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Baptism is the first of the two pictorial ordinances Christ put in his church. The word ordinance means a law, and there are many laws in the church. But there are two ordinances that are termed pictorial. Now that just simply means they picture something. And the first ordinance, baptism, pictures a death to sin and a resurrection to life in Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul's talking about here. If we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, it will not be many months or weeks until there will be planting time. It doesn't seem that way now because we've had one of the most severe winters on record. And ground has been frozen and snow and ice has been over things. And just right now doesn't occur to any of us that there will be a time of planting. But there will be. It'll come. And when the seed or bulbs are put in the earth, we put them there with a view of their resurrection. And when our bodies are put in the grave, we have hope, a hope of the resurrection. Now tomorrow at 12:30, one of the mothers in Israel, Sister Yancey, will be, we'll have funeral service for her and take her to the cemetery and plant the body. Now we don't ever expect to see that body again, that is the deathly body. But we do expect to see the resurrection body, which comes from the old. And that's the way it is with the seed that's put in the earth. You don't ever expect to see that dead seed again, but there is a germ of life in that seed that will germinate, come forth a new plant, and bear a new seed. And this is what baptism is all about. You see, the Lord is life. And when we accept the Lord into our hearts by faith, we have received life. And therefore, we're alive in Jesus Christ. And the Lord has left this ordinance in the church so we can make a picture that everyone can see. And this picture will show a death, a burial, a resurrection. And so, no one is entitled to be baptized except a live person, live in Jesus Christ. We make a picture that the death has come, therefore we bury the old dead body in life, and we raise the new. Makes a picture of the fact that we're alive in Jesus Christ, no longer dead except dead to sin. the old life, we're disconnected, as we talked about this morning in the message on the evidences, the Bible evidences of salvation. All of these people that we talked about, every one of them exercised and demonstrated an exuberance of life. They had new ideas and new hopes and aspirations. Some of them wanted to be baptized. They wanted to make amends for everything that they had done that was wrong. Everything about it exhibited a life, a new life, a new energy. And so this is a child of God for you. He's alive. And in order to demonstrate it, we bury people in water baptism and raise them up that they may show that they are alive in Jesus Christ. This is what baptism is about. Baptism was started by the Lord God. He sent John the Baptist into the world and told John to baptize. Jesus had submitted himself to John's baptism because he said that it might be made manifest that I am the Son of God. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, the voice of God spoke out of heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And so people have been baptized from then on now, if they're baptized scripturally, that they might manifest that they are sons of God, baptized with John's baptism that God put in that God gave, and Jesus took that baptism and perpetuated it in his church. And so when you talk about Baptist baptism, you're talking about John's baptism. But you're also talking about God's baptism, the baptism of Jesus. And so don't think that they're two different things. They're one and the same. Jesus was baptized by John, and John's baptism was from heaven. Therefore, it's heaven baptism. It's scriptural baptism. It's right baptism. And this is what we're going to observe tonight. So we'll ask that Roberta please retire here and be prepared for baptism. And we will sing a number of songs, just how many we don't know yet, Brother Sanford, just until we get back. In other words, we have quite a long commercial right now. No, it's really worshiping the Lord. And so let's worship the Lord together in song. All right.
Get those hymnals out once again. Let's turn to hymn number 219. Hymn number 219. Thank you.
1 Corinthians 11, 18. For first of all, when you are come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies or factions among you. They which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you're come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For at eating everyone taketh before others his own supper, and one's hungry, and the other's drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them, that is, put to shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, that is, after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament, or New Covenant, in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye do eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let every man examine or prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation, that is, judgment unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We've come now to the second of the two pictorial ordinances in the church. And Paul explains it. The Lord put the supper in the church on the night before he went to Calvary, the night of his betrayal. And the purpose of the supper, the Lord said, is that you may remember my broken body and my shed blood. Paul said, when you're come together in the church, see, this is the place the Lord put his ordinance, in the church. However, in the church at Corinth, there was a great deal of misunderstanding, and Paul was setting these people straight about it. These people at Corinth got the idea, some way, somehow, and Baptists are bad at this, if we don't just keep on going back to our original source of material and studying it over and over again. They got the idea that this was a banquet in which everybody was to feast. Now he said, some of them were poor people that had nothing to bring. They could not prepare food to bring to the church. Other of them were affluent, and they could bring all the food they wanted and all the wine they wanted. Consequently, some of these people were gluttonous and had become drunk. Isn't that a shame? A drunk. In other words, they were saying that they were observing the Lord's Supper. Paul said, this is not the Lord's Supper, not the way you're doing it. Why, he said, you're putting shame these people that can't bring anything. They don't have it to bring. And then in addition to that, some of you are getting drunk on so much wine. And this is not right. Then he said, you've got your homes to have your banquets in. And And still, a lot of people misunderstand this. They do not believe that there's ever an occasion in the church for the church to have a supper together. Well, the Lord ate with his church. They did. Very often they had church suppers. But some people will go off, you know, they're like the pendulum on the clock. They swing in one direction and then swing in the other. Now, these people were misapplying the Lord's Supper, making a banquet out of it, and because Paul rebuked them for it, some people got the idea that there's no place for a church supper at all. That's not what Paul's talking about. He said there's no place for you to make a banquet out of the Lord's Supper. This is what's wrong. And then he said, now here's the way the supper is to be observed. When you come together in one place, see, there's church, and they could meet in one place. When you're come together in one place, therefore, the Lord had put the unleavened bread, which is symbolic of the unleavened or unsinful body of Christ. The fruit of the vine was symbolic of his blood that was shed. Therefore, he said, when you break the bread, remember the broken body of Christ. When you drink the fruit of the vine, remember the blood that was shed for you, the blood of the new covenant. And this is what the supper is all about. It is not a procurative thing at all. It does not procure salvation. It declares salvation. As often as you take this bread, eat this bread, and take this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he comes. Or do this, he said, in remembrance of me. There's something about the Lord's Supper that is appealing to our children. I know that it seems cruel to them because we can't allow them to take the Lord's Supper. In other words, boys and girls, some of these days you'll grow up. Some of these days you'll be saved. Some of these days you will be baptized. And after that, you can take of the Lord's Supper. But not until that time. It's not that we are trying. You can have something to eat when you go home. Okay? You can remember that now, and we'll observe the Lord's Supper, and we in Woodhaven Baptist Church limit the Lord's Supper, that is, partaking of it, to the membership of the church. It is not that we disqualify or disenfranchise anyone who is a Christian or even another Baptist who is visiting with us, but we emphasize the fact that it is a local church over which we have discipline over the members. And this is one of the things that we want to point up one of these times as we go into it a little bit fuller. Perhaps sometime in March we'll have a supper, and we'll have it arranged in such way as we have once before on Wednesday night. Have the table set where all of us will sit at the table and explain it a little bit fuller and show you why that we limit it to the membership of the local church. And he said, examine yourselves, which means that you've got to be in harmony not only with the Lord, but the other church members. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. All right, we'll ask our brethren to come forward, please. Thank you.
body of the Lord was without sin, the life of the Lord was without sin. And it was his body that was broken. So we break the bread, and when we break it, we ask that you remember the body of the Lord, and as it is passed by you, you may always also break it if you feel that you'd like to do. But when you do, fact that the blood cleanses from all sin. Help us, our Father, to always hold high the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel. Like the dying thief, rejoice to see that fountain in his day. There may we, though vilest, he wash all our guilt, sin, stains away. It's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. Part 8.